Hello, everybody. My name's Matt. I'm one of the elders here, and we're going to be, for those of you guys who've been around here, you know, we just wrapped up a series on the book of John, and now we're going to be jumping over and starting next week with a series in Ephesians called Brought to Life and Brought Together. So we're kind of in this in-between time now between John and Ephesians, and so what we're going to dive into today is talking about, we've got, for those of you who know, is it not working? Oh, fine. Oh, okay. David's leaving already. Gee, harsh. He doesn't get a preach and he just leaves. Okay, fine. Boy, I'm not going to be here much. No, I'm just kidding. We're talking about community, speaking of which. So we're going to be talking about community today and what Christian fellowship is and what it's about. For those of you guys who have been around, we also know in October, usually all of our life groups start up. And we're going to be talking about life groups, what they are, what they do, what their purpose is biblically. And what we're getting into today is we're called CCC, which stands for Christian Community Church. So that's what we're getting into today, is what does that community part of it look like? We all know kind of what Christian stands for and somewhat what church stands for. So what does the community stand for? What is that all about? So here we go. This is one little blurb on community. Presently, this is not me, this is just somebody else. Presently, I am trying to make friends outside of Facebook while applying the same principles as those used on Facebook to gain friends. So every day I go stand out on the street corner and I tell passersby what I have eaten, how I feel, what I did the night before, and what I plan to do tomorrow night. And then I proceed to show them pictures of my family, my dog, my cat, gardening, walking on the beach, things like that. I also listen into all of their conversations that they're having as they walk and tell them that I love them. And the beautiful thing is, it works. So far, I already have 3 people following me. Two of them are a police officer, one's a psychiatrist. Okay. So these of you guys, you know, that is not community. Facebook is not community. And yes, that will happen to you if you try to create community that way. There are better ways for community. And we'll get into it today. So what we're going to do is we're going to review what the Bible calls us towards in community and fellowship and how what life groups are and how they help to achieve that. So life groups are basically groups of 4 to 12-ish people that meet in homes during the week. So you don't see them here on Sunday mornings. A lot of people here are involved in life groups already, praise God. But they're basically the backbone of CCC because really, I mean, as a body, we're a decent-sized body. You're never going to get to talk to everybody on a Sunday morning and get that sense of community and that true sense of fellowship that we're going to be getting into today. And that's what life groups are about, is creating that deeper level of intimacy that helps with our growth as a Christian too. And really, today is not just about life groups. Really, it's about biblically, what does community look like? What does it mean to be in a community of believers? What's that supposed to look like? And we've been talking about, David's been bringing up the discipleship path. And this is basically, we're going to be focusing on one area of that. First area is Sunday morning church, being a part of Sunday mornings. And congratulations, everybody. You did that one. Everybody who's here, you did it. Good job. So that's the first part. The second part is getting involved in a life group. It's a deeper level. It's a little bit more involved. And there's that level of intimacy and commitment involved in that. And then from there, there's discipleship groups. And those kind of birth out of life groups. And discipleship groups are deeper levels of accountability and talking. So today we're focusing on life groups and getting into those. And if you turn with me, the text that we're going to focus on today is Acts chapter 2, Acts 2, 42 through 47. Acts 2, 42 through 47. And basically what this is, it's a picture of the early church, a snapshot of the early church and what it looked like. What did they do? What was their life about? What was it like? And it's kind of the best guide that we have biblically into what the church looked like at the time. So 42 through 47, and they, that's the believers, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So let's pray, and we'll get into it. Lord, thank you for your word that is truth and that is life, Lord God, and that, Lord, you will speak to us and guide us through your word if we will hear. And so, Father, I just pray that you would open our hearts today, Father, to put aside all our distractions from the week and even from this morning, and, Lord, just focus on you. And, Lord, that we would let you speak to us even as I'm up here sharing and even as we dive into your word, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and that you would move in our hearts, Father God. Open our eyes to see awesome things from your word, Father God, and give us wisdom and how to take that and apply that to our lives so that we become more and more like you, Father God, of the people that you've called us to walk more and more in your presence and in your glory and your beauty. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Okay. So we're going to be walking our way through some characteristics here of what a community looks like. And the first one that we're talking about is, what does it look like? It's basically this sense of togetherness. I don't know if that's a word that you could get in Scrabble, but I just am using it. It's togetherness, the sense of community, togetherness. See, as you look through this verse, you can see a number of purposes and activities that the local church did. And one thing that was very clear was a sense of togetherness in everything that they did, the sense of community and regular fellowship. It's in here, if you look at it, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. So devoted, what does that mean? I looked it up, and in Greek it means to persevere, to be constantly diligent, to attend continually or to continue in. You see, for these guys, that fellowship wasn't an optional thing. And it wasn't based on their feelings like, I don't really want to go today. I'm going to hang out at home and watch football. I'm going to just stay at home and chill. I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to do this. It wasn't based on their feelings. It wasn't based on their emotions. It was based on this deeper sense of commitment to the community of God and what God had called them to. It was a priority in their lives. And I'm not saying you'd be here every Sunday, and if you're not, you're in horrible sin. I'm not saying that. But it shouldn't just be this, like, lackadaisical attitude towards community. It should be a priority in our lives. It should be something that we focus on and push towards, devoted to. You see, the Bible is very, and we've mentioned this before, but the Bible never talks about or endorses Lone Ranger Christianity. It's not an option. There's no examples or teaching in the Bible to support somebody who's not connected to one local body. Unless they were involved in like missions work like Paul or Luke or Barnabas or one of those guys that we see. Otherwise, there's no teaching or there's no real example of anybody who was just doing it on their own or just floating around in a community. No church hopping. And we'll get into the reasons for that. But biblically, it was all about being connected and involved in a local body of believers, committed and involved. And furthermore, it was apparent from if you read this Acts verse, it's apparent that these guys weren't just Sunday morning Christians. They didn't just get together on Sunday morning. As we talked about, it's impossible to really connect with everybody on a Sunday morning. These guys were meeting together. It talks about day by day attending the temple together and breaking their breads in their home. And all who believed were together. Over and over again, it says that. These guys were meeting regularly, constantly during the week. There was a much greater sense of community than Sunday mornings. If you look up one other verse with me, towards the end, we're going to Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 25. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us, that's the church, consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So stirring each other up and not neglecting to meet together. Those are priorities that they're pushing in there. So why is community so important? Why does God focus on community in there? And there's a number of reasons. First of all, if you look at God himself, God is community, and we are created in God's image. God is the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. There is community within who God is in and of himself. And God created people to have relationship with him, to have that level of intimacy with him. You see, God is a God of relationship, and we're made in his image. We were made to have community, to have relationship. And also, if you've been involved in life groups for a while, you know this by heart too. Community and fellowship is God's gift to help us to grow in our walk with God. It's about encouragement, sharing, confrontation, serving each other, compassion and concern with each other, for each other. Like we were talking about, stirring each other up to love and good works, stirring each other up. There's this dynamic that happens, iron sharpening iron. And furthermore, why do we need community? What's it all about? If you look in John 17, it talks about how we as a community, our love for each other is supposed to be a witness to the world. Our relationship, the community that we have out here, is supposed to be a witness to the world of our faith and who we are, because we're supposed to be different from the world. If you look at that one in Acts again, where it's talking about the lives these guys led, it's different. These guys were different. These guys were together. There wasn't selfishness. There wasn't this sense of independence. These guys were together and serving and caring each other. So how is this accomplished in life groups? Talking about life groups in there. How do life groups help accomplish that? First of all, what they are is regular meetings in people's home, whether it's weekly or every other week. There's regular meetings in people's home. And it's a time to get to know people in a deeper way than Sunday mornings here, as we talked about. You can talk together. You can sit and have one-on-one dynamic relationships and in there, talking about whether it be just social conversations or going deeper, asking people, really, how are you doing? How are you really doing? And if you look at this Acts verse in here too, one other thing you'll notice about, there's a lot of things that talk about what? What part of relationship and fellowship? Food. If you notice in there, in this Acts, there's a lot of that in there. And you're kind of like, why is that? Why is that in there? But you see it in here a lot, breaking of breads together and giving thanks with generous hearts for the food that they have. And it's interesting because if you look in the Jewish culture and study it, a meal in a Jewish culture was more than just food. Eating together with somebody else was a sign of unity, the sign of intimacy, the sign of relationship. That's why Jews, if you look at Jews, were not allowed to eat with Gentiles, with unbelievers, because there was this level of intimacy and depth in there. And so eating together with people was a sign of intimacy and the sign of depth. And that's part of the reason we do it in small groups. I mean, you come together around food and you gather and you can talk and you can share stories and laugh together and have these awesome conversations. So we do that. I mean, some groups do potlucks, others just bring snacks, but there's kind of this gathering around food and sharing and connecting with each other, so that we're involved and informed with each other's lives, this level of intimacy. And then there's getting together, groups get together outside of the group itself and do stuff together. I mean, they go hiking and fishing and hunting and camping. I mean, Rocky and I every year organize a trip for guys, and we go out and we go camping and hiking together. And it's just an awesome time of really getting together and getting to enjoy each other and getting to know each other on a much deeper level in there too. So it's not just group itself. And then attending each other's events, I mean, birthday parties, sporting events, things like that, getting to attend and be involved in each other's life. Really what it is doing life together, doing life together. And then in the Acts it talks about those who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. So it was this sense of community in there and sharing possessions. Sharing possessions. So what I want is everybody just bring their wallet up here and set it on the floor up here. I'm just kidding. But I mean, that's almost like what it was, that sense of they were sharing with anybody who had need. I mean, if there was a need in the group, bam, these guys were on it. They were taking care of it. They were supporting each other. It was like, I mean, it's a family, basically. I mean, if one of your kids is destitute and poor and doesn't have a place to live, most of us wouldn't say, Well, sleep on the street, kid. Tough luck for you. You'd welcome in. You'd give them a place to stay. And that's what they're talking about in here, is a sense of family, of taking care of each other's needs. Because part of it, we're making the world jealous over the community that we have, making the world jealous of the community that we have. And do we do that? It's serving each other. I mean, it's group. I mean, I've done more moving parties than I can count, helping people move stuff that are in the group. If you guys know Rocky, Rocky's like all the time, constantly serving people and doing projects for people in his group. He rocks at that. Yeah. So there's that sense of community, of helping each other and serving each other. And we're not asking for money. It's just this community of connecting with each other and helping each other out as any has need. And then there is that idea of sharing possessions and stuff with each other too. I mean, all of us, all of these things that they talk about in here have been done at CCC, from giving stuff like furniture and cars and money and things like that to those who have needs. That's all been done in the context of life groups in this church, whether be it money to help somebody with something that they're needing, something at the time, or furniture or stuff, or giving a car to somebody. That's all been done. I just thought it'd be a really cool idea of like putting together this Facebook page for us as a church, where anybody who has stuff to give away, instead of just taking to Salvation Army, or instead of even selling it online or something, you just put it on the CCC church page and somebody can claim it, just giving it away. And if somebody has a need, somebody can post that need on there, say, hey, I'm looking for this, can anybody help me? And somebody can help out with that. I think it'd be awesome to do. Honestly, though, the hard part is I'm not on Facebook. I don't have the faintest clue how to use Facebook. So somebody else has got to do that. I just had the idea. But that sense of community and sharing, of having, hey, I've got something to give, and here it is, and somebody else, I need something. Great, thank you. That's how the church should work. And that's an awesome relationship and dynamic, giving to those who have need. I mean, I love it when people just come over and have, like, fridge rights to our house. We did like a potluck last week, and Brad and Bonnie were there at the end, and they stayed at our house for a while, and they know where everything is. They can just go help themselves, and I love it. We love that sense of people can just feel at home and help themselves and do what they need to. And the cool thing in this is it's never really commanded that you see, thou shalt give half of thy possessions to somebody else in need. It's never commanded, but you see it. It's this natural outworking of our love, the love that God has given to us, working its way out and loving others. That's the way it should be. I'll take you to one other verse here, Philippians 2. Philippians 2, 3 through 4. It says, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you not look only towards his own interest, but also to the interests of others. And that's where we are different from the world, where the world is like this competition, like, I've got more stuff than you, I've got more stuff than you. The Christian life should be like, I've got more stuff than you. Here, take some of my stuff. That's how it should work. That's the dynamic that there should be in there, which is awesome, looking to the interests of others. So the second characteristic of community, Bible study and prayer, Bible study and prayer. If you look in there, back to that Acts verse, it talks about they were devoted to the apostles' teaching, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So they gathered together to hear the apostles' teaching. I mean, they got it right from the source. These guys did. I'm jealous. But these guys got it right from the source, hearing the apostles' teaching and digging into the word of God together, the Old Testament that they had and the teaching that Jesus had shared with them. And you see, there's not just the sense of they just sat there and listened, but there's a sense of they devoted themselves to it. They were studied, they were involved in it, consistently diligent towards it. And so at life groups, we do that. We do a Bible study at life groups, and we dig into the word. It's not somebody preaching, but it's all of us digging into the word of God together. And one thing we're pushing in groups is in the Bible study that they do, is to do the sermon notes, review that text that we use as the sermon. So, I mean, whether it's in John or now starting in Ephesians, that's what we review at life groups. And the reason for that is a few fold. First of all, it's to reinforce what the leaders of the church believe, that God is speaking to this body. I mean, God's speaking to this body that we need what Ephesians has to offer. So it's us studying that and digging into that ourselves. Okay, what's God speaking to us through that? And the other part of it is, it's the aspect of repetition. Because anybody will know this or study this. The chances of remembering something dramatically increase if you hear it more than once. For instance, can anybody think of what David's main point was last Sunday? Any point? Anybody think of his main point, any point along in there? If you're saying, like, I don't have the faintest clue. David will ask us this in elders' meetings, and it looks bad when we're all at elders, like, oh, what are you talking about? But that's what I mean. A lot of us don't remember, and I'm guilty of that too. And when we hear something on Sunday and we go out and like, okay, cool, what was it? What did he talk about? I don't remember at all. But that's what part of it is for, is so that we can dig back into it during the week and remember, okay, what were we studying? What were we getting into? Oh, I remember that. Oh, and I remember God was speaking to me about this and through what he was sharing. So we can remember what God's speaking to us and what God's showing us and get that reinforced to us. And why do we study the Bible in community and in these life groups? One, because it teaches people how to read and understand and apply the Bible to themselves. We can demonstrate that. We can model that, especially for people who are new believers who've never really dug into the Bible before. What is it like? What do you do? And we all learn things from the Bible. That's the cool thing as we dig into it, because there's a sense of communal learning where it's not just my perspective on the Bible, but it's, I mean, Justin will look at a verse and he'll see something completely different just because of his life and his experience, what he knows, than what I will because of my life and experience. And I'll be like, that's a sweet point, Justin. I never would have thought of that. And that's that sense of community that can have in there as we're all learning from each other and growing. And then it's discussing what God's speaking to us from that text. Again, it's not just about hearing it, but it's about learning and what God is speaking to us through that. So we learn to hear God speaking to us through the word. Because a part of what we're doing in there is not to just gain head knowledge, but become more like Jesus as we understand and apply the scriptures to our life. One other verse I want to take you to. This is in James. If you go to James chapter 1, near the end of your Bible, right after Hebrews, James chapter 1. Hate that when you swallow wrong. Okay, James 1, 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he looks like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. You see, that's where the rubber meets the road between just somebody who goes to church on Sunday morning and somebody who's a true disciple of Jesus. Somebody who just goes to church on morning, they hear and they forget. They come, hey, we heard David speak, check that box for the week, off I go, I can do whatever I want. Sweet, good to go, I'm done. But he talks about a disciple of Jesus is one who hears what's being talked about. And then they go and say, okay, that was good. What does that mean to me in my life? What's God speaking to me? Okay, I think this is what God's calling me to from that. Now, go out and do it and walk forth in that and obey it and let the teaching that you hear change your life. That's what it's all about, being a doer who acts. So which better describes you, somebody who just listens, or a doer who acts? It talks about in here, the hearer, not a hearer only, deceiving yourselves. See, if we just come on Sunday morning and we're not really applying anything to our life, we're not gaining anything from it, we're only deceiving ourselves. But being a doer, God says God blesses those in their doing. So if we're hearing the word of God and applying it to our lives and changing and growing and being more like Jesus, God's blessing that, and that's what I want. And you see in there, we won't dive into it too much today, but these guys worship together too. I mean, they were worshiping together. They were praying together. And you talk about, I mean, signs and acts that they're talking about. Small groups are a great place to start practicing and walking out the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the third characteristic that we'll get into today is these guys were devoted to mission, devoted to mission. If you read in here again in that Acts verse, it talks about they were having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. You see, the Christian life, this community that we're talking about, was never intended to be this holy huddle, this group of people that just gathers together and pushes everybody out to the side because we want to keep this little group that we have. That's called a clique, and a clique is not a biblical thing to have. It's not what Jesus called us to have. You see, God gives to us so that we can give. God blesses us so that we can go out and be a blessing. God's given us this sense of community and this awesome community that he has so that we can go out and bring others into it. The Bible says, in Mark, it says to go out into the world and proclaim the gospel to all. Go into the world and proclaim the gospel to all. You see, we're called to be this community. We're called to be different. We're called to be set apart from the world. But we're also called to go out from that, to go into a dying world and proclaim the truth. So not just to stay in this safe little community that we have, but to go out in there into the world, into the dark places of the world, and proclaim the good news of Jesus and what he's done. Tell other people about this awesome community of faith so that other people can come and believe and be a part of it. And that's part of what life groups do too, is we're there to help people live out this mission of God and give an opportunity for it. And there's a number of ways beyond even what I can imagine or think of how life groups can do that. One thing that we do at our life group is we do a potluck every other week. Like one week we do a group and the next week we do a potluck. And the potluck, the heart of them is a chance to invite people who don't know Jesus to it. A chance to invite people who wouldn't know Jesus. Because most people, if you know, hey, do you want to come to a Bible study at my house? Most people who don't know Jesus are like, yeah, no. Most people wouldn't do that. That's too intimidating, too much going on. But hey, we're just having a potluck at our house. Come get together, bring your kids, come hang out, have fun, get to know new people. People love that. People love food, especially free food. And they like the chance to get to talk and hang out with people. Most people do that. And you can have people over individually too, but we do it as a potluck too. And it's just a chance to get together and hang out with other people. And it's a chance to display this biblical community that we talk about that we can make others jealous of. Where they talk about gaining favor with the people. That's how we can do it. Interacting with them. Showing them the life that God's given us. And we just, I mean, it's nothing fancy. We pray before the meal. Everybody gets together and we pray before the meal. And then it's just talking to people. Just hearing their stories. It's great. I mean, if you just find people and talk to them, just say, hey, what's your story? And if you'll be amazed at what you'll get out of that too. The one thing that's pretty common in most people is people love to talk about themselves. And so if you just ask people, what's your story? Man, they'll just unload everything on you. And it's awesome because then you really get to know them. And they feel loved and they feel heard. And it's awesome. We did that a few weeks ago. We had a potluck and just got to talking to one gal and just talking. She was talking away and talking about how her and her husband go to a church, but they really aren't involved in it too much. She's actually been asked to lead this kids ministry in the church, but she's like, I'm not even a believer, so I don't know why I'm even leading this thing. And it's just interesting, these conversations that you get into and can have in and through that. And then what we do in there is, as these people are coming into this community and getting involved, say, hey, every other week we're doing a Bible study. If you can make it, love to have you join us in that. And the cool thing is then at that point, hopefully they're somewhat connected to this community and it's not as intimidating. It's like, oh, it's these same people and okay, I can go check that out. It's another night to get together and eat food. Sure, we can do that. So it helps break down that barrier to help get people into a Bible study. And the other thing we've started doing is at our Bible study with people, we're asking people, okay, who are you going to invite this week? Who are you going to invite this week? And so it gets people thinking, okay, this potluck isn't just for me, but who am I going to invite? Who am I going to reach out and invite and share about and see if they do it? And then the other thing life groups can get to do is get out and serve the community. I mean, it's a great way to do it, and there's lots of opportunities out there. There's the food pantry and Meals on Wheels and the trash pickup day and a thousand other things I'm not even thinking of. There's prison ministries and stuff out of town and lots of other ideas out there that as a group people can get together and serve and do and be a part of. And the other thing is if somebody knows somebody with a need, they can get together a group of people to do that. One of our neighbors who's been coming to our potlucks, they're looking at this landscape project that they want to do down the line, and I've shared with them, hey, let me know when you're ready to do it, and we'll just get together this group of people for our potluck, and we'll all go out there and do it together. A great chance to serve people. And I love how it says in there at the end, it says, the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. You see, the Lord added to their number. It wasn't these guys saying the right thing or doing the perfect thing or anything. This was just a work of God. This was a work of God as God stirred in people's hearts, made them jealous of what Christians had, and made them want to know who Jesus is. Our part is just being faithful to the mission that God's given us, and then the Lord adds them into it. So what does all of this mean to me? What does all of this mean to us as a body? Ultimately, it's about getting connected. Getting connected. If you're already a part of a community and of a body and getting plugged in, awesome. If you're not, my encouragement to you is you're missing out. You're missing out because God has so much more than just a Sunday morning. There's so much more out there. If you look at it, I mean, studies easily will show that Christians thrive when they meet regularly together. They're reading their Bible more. They overcome sin. They're more active in outreach. All of those things are fruits of being more connected. Dr. Rainier, it says, found in his research a dynamic key in relating to why people stayed and became active in a church after joining. The same key found in a 2006 Lifeway study. He found that church member retention, people staying at church, was heavily impacted by relationships, especially small group relationships. In fact, his studies revealed that new members who join a small group are 5 times more likely to be involved with the same church 5 years after joining. 5 times more likely to be involved by joining a small group and being a part of it. And Rick Warren proposed the idea that in healthy churches, relevant preaching creates attendees and members. So Sunday morning teaching creates attendees and members, but small groups retain members and fosters discipleship. Again, you're not going to get discipled just coming on Sunday morning. It just doesn't happen. You see, living out the Christian life is hard. We're all, as a Christian, you're going against the flow of the world. The world's moving this way, and the dynamic of the Christian is moving this way. We're at odds with each other. And it's a hard life. I mean, as David shared, we're not on a cruise ship in our Christian life. We're on our battleship. It's a fight to stay alive in our Christian walk. And if you're out there, you're going to feel alone and alienated at times. I know I have, because you're going against the flow. And so that's why God's created this fellowship, this dynamic of people together, to be that community, because we need each other. We need each other. Christian community exists because we were never intended to survive spiritually alone. We all need that relationship, that accountability, that confrontation at times, that encouragement, stirring each other up. We all need that desperately. I know I've been involved in small groups since I got saved in college. Literally, I think all the time I've been involved in small groups since then. And in and through those groups, man, God has done so much in me. I'm the person and the Christian I am today because of those involvement in small groups. I've overcome some of my biggest sin struggles, I know, as a part of small groups and guys reaching out and caring and embracing me and helping me and strengthening me. And still true today. We need that. We're partners in battle in the trenches, down in the trenches. We're partners in battle fighting together to survive in our Christian walk and to thrive in our Christian walk. We need each other. We need each other. And we'll never get that just through a Sunday morning service. We need to be involved in a deeper level in community. And life groups are an awesome place to start in that. Life groups are an awesome place to start. We've got flyers in the back, too, I know. One thing if we could have the life group leaders stand. I know we've got a few in here. If you are a life group leader, if you guys could stand, too. Honey, you're a life group leader. Stand up. Where's Jim? Is Jim around here? Oh, okay. Oh, there's Jim. He's standing up and back already. Okay, sweet. So there's a number of life groups around in there. And get connected. You guys can sit down. Get connected to a life group. There's a bulletin there that's got a list of phone numbers. You can call people, contact the church office, get involved. It's an awesome place to grow and to thrive in God. If we could have the worship team come on up, we're going to wrap up here in a minute with communion too. And it's so cool. I mean, talking about communion, what it is, what is communion in and through it. I mean, you see it in here when they talk about to the breaking of bread and the prayers in this Acts chapter, in this Acts verse in there, breaking bread in their homes. That's talking about communion. That's talking about what we're about to do right now. And what is that? I mean, what is communion? I mean, what it is basically is it's recognizing the body of Christ broken for us and the blood of Christ shed for us. And with communion and with community, the awesome thing is communion is what defines who we are as a community. See, we're not just some club or organization or something like that. All of us together are those who have been saved and redeemed by Christ, who have had Christ's body broken for us and Christ's blood shed for us. That's who we are as a community. That's the tie that binds us all together, that creates this family of who we are. That's who we are. So as we partake of communion here in a little bit and enter into worship, we do this as a family, as a community, because it is who we are as a body. We are all those redeemed by Christ, saved by his blood. And so as we partake of communion, just remember that and rejoice in it. And again, it's not about trying to survive and thrive on our own, but we do this as a community because God wants us to remember that we are part of a community. We're not called to do it alone. So don't just come and be a hearer on Sunday, but man, be part of the community that God has created and thrive spiritually as you do. Become a part of a life group. Get involved in the community that God has for us. So as we're going to take a little bit of time here, and you don't have to rush up for communion. We got plenty. Take your time and just sit and reflect on what God's speaking to you in and through this, how God would have you respond. Again, not to be a hearer, but God, what's God calling you to do? How's God calling you? Amen. What a wonderful name it is. One thing I forgot to mention in there too is the thing about Christian community is it definitely isn't perfect in and through there. And I know that for a fact because I'm in it. So, and I'm not perfect. But the beauty is that Jesus is, and he makes everything worthwhile. And he's the one that makes it awesome and that makes it worth being a part of. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth and your saving power among all nations. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Amen. Jesus, pray that you would bless us all, everybody, as they go out in their week, Father, that you would smile your face down upon them, Father God. And as you have blessed us, Father, help us to be a blessing to the world around us and help us to be a blessing to each other, Father. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 God bless you guys. Have an awesome week.